Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
But we're looking at the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Can you just turn your Bibles? You got your Bibles with you. Turn to the meat of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I remember once Ryan Smith rang me up and he said, Mark, can you just come around? I'm getting a message together. And I just need a bit of help. So I went around, oh, yeah, okay, so I'll come around. So, and he's going through this message he's got. He's going to preach it, right? And he's going, oh, this, that, and the other. And I said to him, Ryan, always remember this. No one cares what you think. They've come to hear what God thinks. And this morning, no one cares what I say. It's all about what God says. And how do we know what God says? We simply open the Word of God. We begin to look at it. We begin to read it. And not only read it, we begin to live according to what it says to us. So here it is, Hebrews chapter 12, and it's just the most amazing. It's just amazing. But anyway, let me just read it to you, and I'm just going to preach a short message this morning. But it says this, Hebrews 12, 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us, I'm just looking at it now, it's not let me, it's let us. Don't you love community? Isn't it awesome? Let us run with perseverance. The King James says, with endurance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured, there's that word again, endurance, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, can everybody say consider him? Come on, over here, consider him. Consider him who endured, there's that word again, endurance, such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Three times in these three verses, the word endure or endurance is used. You know what? We have got to run the race of Christianity, and it's not a sprint. Now, let me just ask you this question. Has anybody here heard, this is a true person, anybody heard of gout? You heard of gout? Now, gout is a 100-meter sprinter. And he's from African descent, but born and raised in Australia. And he has beaten Usain Bolt's record for a 16-year-old for the fastest sprinter in world history. And he's an Australian. And there's something about a 100-meter sprint. It's filled with drama. I mean, it's, you know, 9.5 seconds or 10 seconds just of pure adrenaline, ready set. The guys are down in the blocks. Go, and they just explode out of the blocks. And they're sprinting, and they break the line, and it's just the most amazing thing. But you know what? Christianity is not a sprint. Christianity is all about endurance. Christianity is all about turning up. Christianity is being in church every Sunday. Christianity is reading the Bible every day of your life. Christianity is praying. Christianity is not, see, Proverbs 32 verse 1, which I just made that up. It doesn't exist because there's only 31 chapters in Proverbs. Proverbs 32 1, I just sort of make stuff up. It says this. It's not how you start that counts. It's how you finish that counts. It's not how you start the race. In a marathon, it's not the guy who's ahead after the first mile or the first kilometer. It's the guy who's ahead at the end. And right through these three verses here, it says, let us run, verse 1, let us run with endurance. Verse 2, for the joy set before him, that's Jesus, he endured. Everybody say endured. And he sat down at the right hand of God. consider him who endured. Just say endured. Christianity isn't a sprint. It's an endurance race. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this, he who endures to the end will be saved. To the end. So that when you're 110 and it's about time for you to step into eternity, you'll be enduring to the very end. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for all who love his appearing. It's a race. It's an endurance race. Stay in the race, everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay in the race. Turn to the person on the other side and say, don't give up. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've finished the course. It's a fight. Christianity is a fight. And the tough survive. Man, I tell you, when I first came to Australia, it was a long time ago, right? But Kerry and I had just been married. We'd been married a couple of years, and she was due to have a baby. And so we moved to Australia, and I was youth leader in a church on the Gold Coast. Anyway, at that time, so she had our first child, and there was a recession. There were no jobs. There was no jobs. I had no money. I felt God was calling me, but by faith we'd stepped out and we'd left our house in New Zealand, which I just bought for $12,300. How about that? What a beauty. Mind you, I only earned like $25 a week, I think, or something. It's terrible. This is way back in the dark ages. But anyway, this is when dinosaurs roamed the earth, you know. And so we'd left our home, we'd left our family, we left everything in here, everything we had, we left behind. We stepped out in faith. But here I was living in Australia, new baby, no job. And I'm a Kiwi. Well, you know, there used to be a big joke that Kiwis are all dole bludgers, right? So I couldn't even get the dole because I hadn't lived in Australia 6 months. And finally, I'm praying, God, give me a job. I need to work. We had to move in with a family. We had no money. We had nowhere to live. But I was, you know, the call of God, and I stepped out in faith. Anyway, a job came up at this place, and it was a Chinese noodle factory. In fact, I Googled it the other day. They're still going. I don't know how they're still going, but anyway. And they also made chisels. And so I got this job, and the boss looked at me and said, normally I don't hire New Zealanders, but I'll give you a go. There you go. So I said, all right, okay. So anyway, so I started work, and I was there, and it was a day, it was like today, you know, outside. You know, it's hot, it's about 35 degrees or whatever. And I'm working in this factory, and there's this ladder, these steps, and there's this big vat of oil turning, and I've got to get 3 bags of cheese, climb up the steps, dump these big bags of shredded cheese into this big vat that's churning up, making these cheesy cheesels. And I go up there and I'm working on this, and the boss is stinking hot. The boss is running around screaming at people. He's crazy. And I'm freaking out. And so I'm running around, and at the end of the day, 10-hour work, 10 hours, and I was exhausted. And it was terrible. Now, everybody laughs here, of course, but this is a really sad story. So it's sad. It's tragic. And anyway, I got into the car, and I looked in the rear vision mirror of the car, and my face is yellow. It's covered in cheese powder. And I was just so depressed and so disappointed, so upset. I had this terrible job, but I had to work. And I cried all the way home as I drove all the way home. And tears ran down the cheese powder. Down here. Everybody's laughing. Why are people so unkind? How about some support? Give me some love. And I got out of the car. Kerry comes out with her baby, Summer. And she said, what's wrong? I said, I can't do that job anymore. Oh, don't work. No, it's okay. And it's like, it's a fight. And there's people here, you are fighting a fight right now. There's people who are ill. And like, in the first service, Pastor Bernie Kelsey was there. She's ill. She's going through chemo, just finished, I think, and is coming out through that other side, and she's fighting. My wife, Kerry, has had cancer for 4 years. But she's fighting. She's still running. Listen, whatever life throws at you, whatever disappointments come your way, consider him. Maybe we could put verse 3 of chapter 12 up right now, and it just simply says, consider him. Everybody say, consider him. If things don't work out, consider him. If people let you down, consider him. If sickness comes into your family, everybody. If you lose your job, if the pastor doesn't come and visit you when you're in hospital, what do you do? Looking to Jesus. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I'm still in church, and I got saved in 1976, that's a long time. One of the reasons I'm still here is because, you know, look, fads come and go, and preachers come and go, and moves of God come and go, and it's wonderful. But above and beyond everything else, looking to Jesus. Can we give Jesus a hand? It's not about me. It's not about Pastor Alex or Pastor Phil. It's all about Jesus. Everybody say together, consider him. Looking to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. Paul said this, I'm persuaded that what God has begun in you, he will bring to fruition in the day of his coming. What God, he's the author, he's the finisher, he's the beginning, he's the end, he's the Alpha and the Omega. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. Can we give Jesus a big hand again? It's all about him. Okay. So point one, and you know, I'm a Pentecostal preacher, so every sermon's got to have 3 points, right? And they've all got to start with either the same letter or the same phrase. It's in the Bible somewhere. I just haven't found it yet. But when I do, I'll let you know. So first point is, we're running the race and Jesus is our chief inspiration for our faith. But also, point two is this, our faith is inspired by others. And look at it, says Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And the context of this, of course, is the previous chapter, chapter 11, is the great list of all the heroes of faith. In fact, as I was sitting there and I was getting ready to come up, God just reminded me of this incredible verse. In verse 11:27, this is about Moses. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered, or he endured, because, listen to this, this is Moses. He saw him who is invisible. And I suppose that's what faith actually is. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things to hope for, of things not seen. You and I will endure if we can just see him who's invisible. Or we can see Jesus who walked this earth 2,500 years ago. He's now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. But listen, here's the good thing. You can see him today. You might not be able to see him with your naked eye, but you can see him with the eye of faith. And we get inspired because we read about Moses, who endured and lived a life of faith and took the children out of captivity and did miracles. We might be inspired by David, who had to endure and overcome the lion and the bear and Goliath, then King Saul, then all the Philistines. He endured and overcame all of them by faith, but also the biggest thing he had overcome was himself. Can anybody resonate with that? And when he had blown it with Bathsheba, and the child that was conceived from that union was dying, And he got down on his face for 7 days and seven nights and begged God that that child be spared. And then the child died after 7 days. How did he respond to that disappointment? Because I get inspired by this. You know what he did? He got up off the ground. And guys, when we've been knocked down, let's get back up. Yeah. He got up. He changed his clothes. He washed his face. He anointed his head with oil. He went to the house of God and he got down on his knees and he worshiped God. Yeah. That's, come on, let's give Jesus. Thank God. God. David just taught me how to deal with unanswered prayer. Yeah. And disappointment, things don't always work out. Young people over here, things don't always work out the way that you want. But at the end of the day, we need to see him who is invisible. And we need to say, I don't understand. I'm handing it over to God. And I'm just going to believe in him. And we, these people, David and Joseph and Isaac and Jacob, all these great people inspire us. This great cloud of witnesses, it says in Hebrews 12:1. And of course, you know, when you pick up your phone, it's all the information's up in the cloud, right? But there's a lot of inspiration in the cloud. You see, Moses and David and Samson and Samuel, they've all run their race. They've all played the game for the length of their life. Now they've been ushered into the seats and they sit in the stands and they're watching you and I play the game for the rest of our life and they're cheering us on. Guys, what an inspiration they are. But you know what? I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. It's not so much Moses and those guys who have been. You know what? I get inspired by the cloud of witnesses, some of whom who are here today. It's the living that inspire me more than the dead. In the 8:30 service, there's two of the great saints who inspire me. Saint Bill and Saint Anya McCudden. Anybody know them? Oh, maybe they're here today again. Maybe they're double dipping. Seven children, 22 grandchildren. The other day I got a message. There's a guy who used to be a member of a church, is in hospital, wanted a visit. And I rang Billy McCudden. Can you go and see this man? And Bill goes to the Northern Beaches Hospital and spends a couple of hours with this guy who's in desperate need. And then last week, another member. They're also struggling. They're also in hospital. Bill and Anya, go and see them. And they are the heroes of the faith. They are the heroes. But there's 1,000 heroes. We've all got reasons not to be here today. It's too hot. I think I'll go to the beach. I get it. But you know what? You're here. You're here. And so guys, always realize this. You are an inspiration to me. And you're an inspiration to one another. We're built for community to do this together. We're inspired by that great cloud of witnesses. Can we give Jesus a big hand? The wonderful. That keeps fuel in the tank. That keeps the wheels spinning. Awesome. Okay, so Jesus is the greatest inspiration. People are an inspiration. But number three, our faith is our responsibility. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, let us throw off everything. That's not on God, that's on you. Let us throw off everything that hinders. You know what I reckon that is, actually? I think that's the stuff that hinders. I reckon that's the good stuff. I reckon that's the fun stuff. That's the stuff that we enjoy. And God says, no. Sometimes you just got to get rid of it and lighten the load. And the sin that's so easy, there's the bad stuff. Listen. Jesus forgives us of our sin, and now you and I have to put off our sin. Don't confuse what's God's job with what's your job. This is on you. This is on me. And then it continues on. In fact, if you look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, it says this, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Now, God, of course, will strengthen us. He'll strengthen those legs so we can keep walking. He'll strengthen our arms that we can keep lifting. But also, it's up to us to strengthen ourselves. David lost everything in a moment of time in 1 Samuel chapter 30. His family, his finances, all his friends were going to kill him. But the Bible says this, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Strengthen yourself. That's on me this morning to do that. Strengthen. Then it continues on from verse 12. It says, verse 13, make level paths for your feet. Make level paths. Make something happen. Believe God and then start walking and then start working. Now, no matter what you face, God will give you his gift of faith